You're listening to the latest preaching from Brixham Community Church.
My name is Phil. I went away on something called PAYS, which is a Christian youth schools outreach team. So before that, I guess I was part of the church. I was part of the youth a bit. We went to Soul Survivor, did youth home groups. But I guess I was hungry for more. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to get deeper in my relationship with God. I wanted to be able to stand up here and do this right now. And I wanted to be able to, I guess, deliver something to young people and bless them and try and help them on their journey. So I started PAYS January 2017, and I was a team member for 6 months. That was incredible. We would do assemblies, we would do clubs, and I was basically based in one school mainly, and we would do breakfast, lunch, and after-school clubs and assemblies in that school. And it was a Christian ethos school, so it wasn't we couldn't just go around shouting at people that we were Christians and that they should follow God, but we could, I guess, nudge them in the right direction, I guess, is probably the best way to put it, and also talk to them. Like, if we could get them to ask us a question, then that's the key, really, and then we could talk about our faith. And then September last year, I then became a team leader of my team. I was based in Warsaw, which is just above Birmingham, not Warsaw, Poland, because a load of people keep on getting confused about that whenever I tell them that I'm in Warsaw. They're like, oh, how do you speak to the Polish people? I'm like, no. So it's, yeah, Warsaw above Birmingham, which, you know, is an interesting place. It's very, very different to Brixham, definitely. I guess culturally, it's very different. Lots of different Sikh temples and mosques and, you know, everything's kind of mixed in, which is really nice to, I guess, get that opportunity to be in that environment, I guess, coming from down here. And also being in schools with loads of different different cultures and being diverse and all of that, I guess. So, the year that I led was great. And I think that really built me for, leadership as well. We did, loads of really good assemblies. Even had an opportunity to do an assembly in a Muslim all-girls school at Christmas time, which was incredible. They said we could come and we could just talk about whatever we wanted, don't hold back, which was incredible. For an all-Muslim school, so we basically told them, the Christmas story, taught them the gospel, and then they were hungry for more. Afterwards, they wanted to have a questionnaire. They could ask any question they wanted. So they were asking about the Bible and just about our faith, and it was, I hope that, some seeds were sown there, I guess. But throughout the year, we reached about 1,600 students doing assemblies on identity, joy, making the right decisions in life, I guess, and just trying to help them to support them and nudge them, tell them a little bit more about our faith, which was an incredible opportunity. And I can safely say before I joined PAYS, I probably wouldn't be able to stand up here and do what I'm doing right now. But I think on PAYS we get taught lots of different things. And today I want to talk to you guys about hunger for God, especially. I think on my time on PAYS, what kind of drove it was I was hungry to know God deeper. I wanted to just fully just try and immerse myself in him as much as possible. But on the journey, certain things pop up. I'm sure you've all experienced it. So I just really want to encourage you guys and speak to you a little bit about this. So on PAYS, we have something called the Kingdom Principles. And one principle in particular is called the cloud and the line. Now, I could probably do a preach on the cloud and the line by itself, but I'm just going to do a quick little overview, and then I'll get into the rest. So with the cloud and the line, the line represents the law, okay? So it's, I guess, questions that you could ask, like, God, if I do this, will you bless me? Oh, God, how far can I push this until maybe it's I shouldn't be doing this? Or, this is what I'm doing. How can you help me right now in this situation? Which isn't a bad question to ask, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. And then the cloud is God's heart, and that's kind of where we want to be. That's what we should be hungering for. So, you know, in all the different situations, the cloud is where we want to be. The line is, it's not bad to have the line, but we don't want to be stuck on it. We don't want to be stuck somewhere where we're asking these questions that, I guess, just keep us on that level. We want to be looking for God's heart. So I want you to kind of be thinking about that whilst I'm talking through today. So, sometimes in life we can allow things to, I guess, take up space. Whilst I was on PAYS, I would go into the school every morning. I would have a half an hour walk, and I would spend that time walking just with God. I would give him that time. I would then be in school. We would then do like a Bible study as a team. We would have our sessions where we'd talk to the students about God. And then I would walk home, have another half an hour, and I'd be like, yeah, I'll give this time. I'll put on some worship music. But afterwards, you know, there was still something there. I was still hungry for more. And I found it quite funny how in my personal time, you know, I wouldn't give God as much time as I probably should have done. Certain things distracted me, I guess. But I would see it as like spending time with God for some reason, just, you know, I wanted to relax and shut off. And, you know, I wouldn't see spending time with God though as just relaxing and shutting off. I wouldn't see spending time in his word and just being hungry for him as something that is, you know, that would relax me and just spend, you know, it's really weird. And I'm sure some of you have felt like that. And it's just allowing that hunger. Like, I knew it was there and I could see it. And I was like, God, I just cried out to him. I was like, God, I want to be hungry for you. And I don't want to be distracted though. You know, I don't want these things to take my eyes off of you, even though it can be so hard in life when we have certain distractions and certain things that come up. So I think quite often in life we can see, we have an order, don't we? So God is number one, maybe family is number two, maybe sharing our faith for some people is number three, maybe it isn't, maybe like your job, and so on, okay. But I think one thing that I've realized is that when we put God first, when we're hungry for God, there is no number two or no number three, there's no number four. It's just all of that gets wrapped up in God being the one thing that we are looking to. So family, we praise God and we worship God in loving our family, loving our friends, you know, spreading the gospel already, that's expanding God's kingdom. In our job, how we acting with the people around us, be hungry, because being in school and seeing some of these students, it's been really eye-opening, I think, for me especially. To see just how, like, me, I guess, or just me and my team, just being a role model to some of these kids in school, how they see how we live our life and how we're hungry, and they see something in us and they're like, well, I want that. But I think this generation, like this young generation, for a lot of them, I think they are the most connected generation ever. Without a doubt, this young generation is the most connected generation ever, but they are the most lost and unguided, which is crazy. You know, so it was, I think it was amazing that we had this chance to be hungry and to be a role model. You can see it's quite a bad thing as all these kids, and it is quite a bad thing, that they're, you know, they're quite lost and unguided, and they're searching for something, and they're searching for things in the world to give them something, but they're not finding it. But you know, God always gives us a way, and our hunger that we have, it can show them something that is so beautiful, that is so amazing. So don't hold back. Don't allow certain distractions or things in your life. You know, certain things are coming up. Oh, you know, God, don't allow these distractions to separate you. If anything, allow that to be the food. You know, take all of these distractions, take these things that are separating you from God, and be like, God, I'm struggling with this right now. Take it. Be hungry. Let him take that and work that, okay? So, and for the older generation, I'd like to encourage you all in here, if you consider yourself part of the older generation, I won't go there because I might offend some people. But, you know, be encouraged, because if you're wondering, you know, why am I here? You know, like, God, you know, I'm getting kind of old now. What would you like me to do? How can I still serve you? What am I doing here? Well, trust me, there is a young generation that could do with your wisdom, that could do with your knowledge, that could really do with like you guys just supporting them. And I guess just, again, just showing that hunger in family life, in how you are around your friends. Like, just find ways to support these young people, especially our young guys in church. Because you guys, you've been through life. You know the hardships and you know what they're kind of going through. And sure, there's a few things in this modern age that maybe you didn't have to experience or go through, but allow your hunger to help them. And to the younger generation, you know, there are so many things in this world, so many temptations, so many times when you, I guess you can wonder, God, you know, what do you want me to do? What shall I do in life? I've been there. I had a time when I thought, you know, God, what is your plan and purpose for my life? Where are you? I didn't allow that to separate me, though. I took that and I was hungry, and thankfully God gave me pace. And now, my next step. But yeah, just be hungry, guys. If anything, just be hungry. Okay, so I think quite often we can say that, like, you know, God, this is what I'm doing. How can you help me right now? Which isn't wrong. You know, we can say, God, you know, I'm struggling with this right now. I need your help. Like, you know, I need you right now, which is good in some situations. But I wanted to encourage you and say, you know, God, what are you doing? And how can I help you right now? All around us, so many times we can get caught up with ourselves, I guess. We can say, God, you know, I want to do this. How can you help me in this situation? And then you get disappointed maybe when God's like, well, no, that's not quite what I had in mind for you. Like, I really encourage you to just say, God, what are you doing right now? How can I bless you? How can I see what you are doing in Brixham, in our areas with our young people? And how can I, you know, join in on this? How can I be hungry to just bless the people around me? Okay. So in John 6:35, I think Dave's going to pop it up. So, John chapter 6:35 is saying, yeah. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So, like, taking these, I guess, these distractions in life, taking these moments where, you know, I feel like, you know, not spending time with God doesn't feel relaxing, these certain blocks that allow us to not, you know, spend as much time with our God that we know. Like, when we say we're surrendering all, when we sing these amazing words, how can we truly just put it into action, I guess? You know, John last week was talking about being fully invested. Allow the hunger, the bread of life that comes from him to just feed you. Take these things, say, God, I need you to take these. I want to be closer to you. I desire knowing you more. Like, I've desired him more and more with my time on pays, and just wanting to just feel, just, I guess, baptized in his presence. And all of us, I guess, want that, don't we? We just want to know that he is intimately there with us, that he's right next to us. Just allow hunger to just take the things that are blocking you. So also in John 6:27, it says, do not work for the food that spoils, for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. I guess it's going back to that cloud. So when we don't hunger for things of this world, when we don't hunger for things that this world can give us, and we try and find a solution to a problem from this, you know, for ourselves, from this world, don't go to that which spoils. If we try and do it from our own way, it will only ever kind of go bad. And we will then, you know, we try and do things our own way. Say, God, you know, why didn't you help me? Why didn't you help me in this situation? Well, I think we need to look at it as, like, you know, what was God doing? How can we search for him in this situation? What is he doing right now? How can we allow him to take that situation? For him to give us the food that endures forever. Allow him to give us the things to help us in them situations, not things of this world, I guess. So, how can we allow hunger for God to take over our lives? you know, that everything we do is praise and worship to him. You know, I think, why do we worship him? I think we worship him because he is worthy. And sometimes when we're in an atmosphere of worship, we come here on a Sunday and we know that he is worthy and we know the promises that he has given to us. But sometimes we come here, we sing on a Sunday, and then Monday comes and Tuesday comes, and slowly but surely we let just, I guess, the grinding of life, the everyday, just kind of block us from that praise and that worship. You know, it isn't just a Sunday. Hunger for God is 7 days a week, all the time. And it doesn't wear us out to be hungry for God 7 days a week. When we're going through our week and things are overwhelming and things are stressful, you know, to go to God isn't something that will, you know, stress us even more. It will free us. Being hungry for God and having that, he will show us how to overcome these things. I've seen that when I've been on pays, every time I've been in a situation when, you know, when I first arrived in Warsaw, my first day, I sat on the bed and I just had my head in my hands. I was like, God, what am I doing here? You know, please help me. And I cried out to him. You know, I could have just, I guess, carried on feeling that way of just like, you know, I'm out of home. I feel out of my depth. You know, oh, I'll just carry on. I cried out to him. I was like, God, I need you right now. And a few days later, I felt right as rain. He provided the way for me. Later on in the journey, when I was deciding, you know, God, should I stay on pace? Should I come back? Should I do something else? I need you to guide me right now. And, you know, certain things popped up and, you know, I guess I could have allowed just the stress of not knowing the future to overwhelm me and allow that to affect me and my team and what I was doing with the young people. But I allowed hunger, I guess that hunger for God, to just say, God, you know, my life is in your hands. I'm not going to let this situation overwhelm me. You know, whatever will be. Not that that's a great view on life, but with God, you know, whatever he has for us, he will do. So there's an analogy that I would like to talk to you. There's a fellow called Jay John. I'm sure most of you know him. He's a great preacher. I really encourage you to, if you know YouTube, go on YouTube and look him up. If not, I'm sure he has podcasts, but I love him so much. And he kind of does an analogy with, there's a car, and this car is your life, okay? And he asks the question, where is God in this car, okay? So, is he in the boot? Do you just pop open the boot, get him out on Sunday for a religious happy hour, and then you say, get back in there, and you close the boot, and you just get on with your week? Is he more of a backseat person? Like, he's kind of there. He sometimes shouts some advice, but you don't really listen to him. He's just in the backseat. Or are you wondering, is he more of a companion? Is he next to you? You know, he's there. He can give you advice, can give you some directions, but ultimately you're still in the driving seat. Well, he goes on to say, oh, no, I know what you're thinking. He's in the driving seat of my life. And yeah, you're correct. You want him to be in the driving seat of your life, but are you a backseat driver? Does he take you down the road of forgiveness? You're like, God, where are you going? He's like, I'm taking you down a road of forgiveness. I don't want to forgive that person. No, no. So I think it's quite good how he shows how when you allow God to just be in the driving seat of your life, what does that look like? I think quite often he can be somewhere else in the car and a little light is flashing saying that, you know, you need to refill. You know, where is God in your car right now? And do you need to be hungry? Do you need to say, God, you know, I want you in the driving seat? But then we need to live our life in such a way that it represents that. That when we sing these words, when we thirst for him, when we surrender to him, that we allow this hunger to overwhelm us, to let it be every single day. That it isn't just one day or 2 days or, you know, 3 days if you have a couple of like Wednesday Night Live or a home group. Allow it to be all the time. Because I can guarantee you, when you just hunger for God and when you allow him to come into all of your situations, when things seem so hard and things seem so stressful, and sometimes you might think, you know, God, why are things like this way? You know that he is always enough, no matter what. That no matter what we're going through, Jesus will always be enough. I think ultimately, one of the sessions that we did with some of the young people at the school was identity. And we had some labels, and we would stick labels on them, and labels that people put on people, I guess, in life, and how that shapes our identity. And ultimately, we know the first label that was put on us. So, and that first label is the most important label. And it's knowing that we are God's, that we are his children. And just allowing that to be our identity. That is who we are. And, you know, so many times we can allow different labels in life, I guess, to define us or to define our relationship with each other or with God even. You know, don't allow God to just free you. You know, seek God and allow him to free you from all of that. So, near the end of my time on PAYS, I was reading a book by a chap called Smith Wigglesworth. I'm sure some of you have heard of him, but he was a great evangelist and healer. And just whilst I was reading this book, just seeing the faith that he had was incredible. And it reminded me of my granddad, which, you know, he stood up here and he's preached. My dad has, and I think most of my family have stood up here and preached, so it's quite weird and it's quite an honour, I guess, to be here in this situation. But many of you, I guess, would know my granddad. For those of you who don't know, he was a tremendous man of faith. He went up and down the country doing all sorts of crusades, and just he didn't allow, I guess, labels or certain stresses in life to hold him back from his faith in God. And as I look back now, as my time on PAYS, he has been a real inspiration. But the faith they had was incredible. And we can look to these inspirational figures and we're like, oh, that's incredible. You know, they gave their life. They had time to just, you know, go to God and spend time with him. You know, I guess what I want to ask you is, what is stopping you from having that same faith? You know, I guess certain things in life, we can come up with excuses. We can say, oh, you know, I've got this going on. This is holding me back. Oh, these guys, you know, they're so inspirational. They have so much faith. It's incredible. What is stopping you from having that same faith? I think whatever that is stopping you, allow that to be food. Give it to God. Be hungry for him. Allow him to feed you and to have that amazing faith. Because when we talk about it, you know, we love being in his presence. We just long to just know him deeper and for him to be with us. You know, what is stopping you from that happening? Be hungry. So, in Matthew 5:6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." I think for some of us, maybe you're sat here and you're like, you know, it's all well and good talking about this. I don't know what's going on in your life, which is very true. But, you know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Like, how reassuring that is. You will be satisfied. Whatever stage in life you are at, if you're going through great trial, great temptation, if you're being stressed out by certain things, know that when you give these things to God, you will be satisfied, that these things will be overcome. It may take time, but be hungry. And, you know, ultimately everything that we go through, we can then bless other people. We can help other people. And we could be a blessing. So, I guess what I want to finish on is just not allowing the small things in life to distract us. God has something amazing waiting for us in heaven. And ultimately, that is the prize that we want to look to. And I'm going to finish now with a little bit of like a spoken word thing. It's some lyrics in a song that I was listening to. If anything in this preach sinks in, let it be these words. Okay, so it says, "We will not lose heart, even though this present age will waste away. We will surely suffer, but it's a slight momentary trouble. The deconstruction is painful, but the transformation is beautiful. when we, the children of God, are crushed under the heavy affliction of this world, be reminded that it's weightless in comparison to the eternal measure of God's glory. We have lost our eyes for the unseen and have swallowed the false hope of the visible. We must realize the empty grave and revel in the certainty of his resurrection with assurance of renewal, considering it worthy to suffer for the faith, so we will worship while we wait. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit brixham.church.